On Point with Craigs Investment Partners.
The information provided here is general in nature. It's not financial advice. It doesn't take into account your financial situation, objectives, goals, or risk tolerance. All investments are subject to risks and none are guaranteed. So before you make any investment decisions, we recommend you contact an investment advisor. For more information about our services in that regard, you can go to our website, which is craigsip.com. Welcome to On Point. I'm Mark Lister, Investment Director at Craigs Investment Partners, and I'll be talking about a range of topics, including economics, portfolio strategy, investor education, and anything else that's happening out there in financial markets. Morning team, hope you're all well. Let's take a look back at last week and then let's turn our attention to what is coming up that we need to keep an eye on. Last week, another very good one for global share markets. The S&P 500 in the US was up 1.9%. That's its third weekly gain in a row. And the index is now just 0.6% off its all-time high, which came in late March. And that means it's earned back just about all of those April losses, which is obviously a real positive for investors. The UK and Europe were stronger still, up 2.7% and 3.2% respectively, and both of those markets ended the week at fresh all-time highs. Japanese shares were flat, emerging market shares rose 1%, and the ASX 200 in Australia posted a very healthy gain of 2.6%. In contrast, it was a pretty tough week for the local market. The NZX 50 fell 1.5%, and that's come on the back of a string of profit warnings and poor trading updates from many of our companies, the likes of Air New Zealand, Spark, Tourism Holdings, and The Warehouse. So clearly, trading conditions are tough and getting more difficult, and that really did see sentiment for local shares take a hit. Interest rates were little changed last week. The US 10-year Treasury yield finished the week at 4.5%. The New Zealand 5-year swap rate ended marginally lower, also about 4.5%. We have got a Reserve Bank decision coming later this month, and at the moment, markets are pricing almost two OCR cuts before the end of this year. They see a 50% chance of the first of those coming by August, and that rises to about 90% by October. So we'll see what the Reserve Bank has to say later this month, but at the moment, markets still believe that we will see OCR cuts in 2024, and that will come over the second half of this year. Looking back at last week, there are a few things I was keeping an eye on. There were two very interesting central bank meetings that I was watching, one in Australia and one in England. So let's talk about those. The RBA across the Tasman left its cash rate unchanged last week. It's sitting at 4.35%. That's the highest since 2011. The RBA last increased in November last year, and it's been on hold for, I think, four consecutive meetings since. However, Australian inflation has been stronger than expected, and that has seen some economists, as well as financial markets, speculate that maybe the Reserve Bank of Australia might need to increase interest rates one more time to get it under control. The RBA did voice its concerns last week about higher inflation, although it played its cards quite close to its chest. In terms of the future path of interest rates, it said it wouldn't rule anything in or anything out, and that it would be guided by economic data and development. So we will just have to watch how inflation tracks over the coming months. At the moment, market pricing suggests that the RBA will be on hold for the rest of this year, and that we will see a rate cut as the next move, but that won't come until 2025. A bit different for the Bank of England. It also left its policy rate unchanged. It's at 5.25% at the moment. That's the highest since 2008, and its last increase came in August of last year. However, at the Bank of England, the first rate cut does seem to be approaching more quickly than we're seeing in other regions. The committee voted 7-2 in favour of no change, so seven people said no change, but two said we should cut. And that compares with 8-1 in March. Back then you had eight people saying hold, one saying cut. So you've seen one of those committee members, and it was the deputy governor, Dave Ramsden, that now is also voting for a cut. So you can see things shifting for the Bank of England, and that probably has come on the back of lower than expected inflation readings. That's been the opposite of what you've seen in New Zealand and Australia and in the US, but in England, inflation has been coming down more quickly than expected. So at the moment, markets see about a 50 or 60% chance of a move in June, which is only next month, while in August, a rate cut is fully priced by financial markets. So it could be the Bank of England, along with the European Central Bank, that are first to move in terms of who will be the one that cuts rates. We've seen a couple of the smaller central banks obviously already do that, but of the big ones, the Bank of England looks like it is moving towards the point where it will pull the trigger and cut interest rates. Locally, it was a fairly quiet week, although we did have some more dairy price figures. We got the results of the latest global dairy trade auction, and it was solid. The headline GDT index up 1.8%. That was the third consecutive increase in a row. Prices are up 7.9% this year, so that's positive. Fonterra's got a milk price forecast range for this current season, which is about to end, with a midpoint of $7.80, which isn't bad. It's not as good as the previous 2 years, but compared to history, it is pretty solid. We're not far away from getting an opening forecast for the 2024-2025 season from Fonterra, and they are scheduled to do a business update. I think it'll be their third quarter figures that are out in 2 weeks' time, I think on May 29th. So we should get an opening forecast at that time. At the moment, most of the banks are in the mid-8s, so they see a nice pickup from where we are at today. This week, the key release is expected to be the US Consumer Price Index for April. This will be out on Wednesday night in the US, and it'll be in focus because we've seen 3 months of stronger than expected increases in the US CPI. So that has got people thinking, will the Federal Reserve cut rates as quickly as expected? Will the Federal Reserve cut rates at all this year? This week, markets are expecting the annual rate of headline CPI to slow from 3.5% to 3.4%, and the annual increase in the core CPI to fall from 3.8 to 3.6. So that decline in the core CPI would see it at the lowest levels in 3 years. So that's good. That's still going down, but that headline CPI has sort of got stuck. It's been in that 3 to 3.5% range for a good 7, 8, 9 months now. So after the Fed has done a very good job of getting the US annual rate of CPI change down from above 9 in 2022 to 3, 3.5, they can't seem to get it from 3, 3.5 down to 2, 2.5, whether I'd rather it be. So this will be watched very closely, and the detail will be watched very closely. The core CPI, the so-called super core CPI, and all the other elements that give us more clues about what's actually happening. For all of that, markets still see close to 2 rate cuts coming in 2024. And September is shaping up as the most likely timing for the first of these. So at the moment, the market sees about an 80% chance of a rate cut at that time. I think one of the reasons why you have seen markets still hold on to that view that rate cuts are coming is because we've seen a little bit of weakness in some of the other economic data, even though you've got inflation that is stubbornly high. We've seen a few cracks in the labour market appearing. We've also seen consumer confidence fall to a 6-month low. We saw that on Friday night with the University of Michigan survey, quite a bit weaker than expected, the lowest in 6 months. Last week, we also had the initial jobless claims, which come out every week. Those rose to the highest level we've seen since late August, which is a long time ago. And those can be a little bit deceiving. We've seen times in the past where they give you a bit of a false signal, but still there are a couple of, two or three actually, important indicators that do point to a little bit of weakness creeping in. And that has given people confidence that the Fed is getting the desired slowdown in the economy that it has been aiming for. So this CPI report will be really interesting on Wednesday. We've actually got retail sales, the monthly retail sales report
also out on Wednesday. And I think that will be closely watched, given the backdrop of consumer confidence coming down and concerns that maybe the labour market is just softening a little. So those things will be interesting in the United States. Also, in terms of global releases, we will get monthly activity indicators out of China on Friday afternoon, 2 p.m. Retail sales, industrial production, fixed asset investment. They will give us a fresh read on what is happening in the world's second biggest economy and New Zealand's biggest trading partner. While the central banking highlight will be Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell speaking on Tuesday in Amsterdam. So that will be worth watching as well. Also a busy week looming across the Tasman. We've got the federal budget due to be released on Tuesday evening, 7:30 Sydney time, 9:30 New Zealand time. Then on Wednesday, we'll get the March quarter wage price index. And on Thursday, the April labour force report is due. And thinking back to some of those comments I just made about the Reserve Bank of Australia, these things will all be important because we need to see wage pressures moderate and we need to see the labour market ease for the Reserve Bank of Australia to feel more comfortable about the inflation outlook. A couple of things to watch here in New Zealand. On Monday afternoon, we'll have the Reserve Bank Survey of Expectations. That's out at 3 o'clock on Monday. This is based on the responses of 30 or 40 business leaders, professional forecasters. It's an important way for the Reserve Bank to monitor how some of those people and groups are seeing inflation expectations and other things developing. We saw some good news 3 months ago. They were quite encouraging. The 1 year forward inflation expectation fell, came down to 3.2%. That's the lowest since late 2021. 2 years forward, the mean expectation, the average expectation, fell from 2.8 to 2.5, and longer term inflation prospects also slipped. You know, 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead, the mean expectation was sort of in the low twos, about 2.2%. So getting very close to that midpoint of the Reserve Bank's target band. And this is an important survey because the Reserve Bank wants to know that its inflation fighting credentials are strong. It wants to know that people have confidence that it will do its job, because if people have belief and confidence that it will get inflation down, then they will adjust their behaviour accordingly or not adjust it. You know, if people give up on central banks and don't think they'll actually have the wherewithal or the discipline to actually do what's needed to get inflation down, they sort of will throw caution to the wind. So it's really important for that behavioural feedback loop that the central banks do have credibility and that inflation expectations are anchored and people do think that they will get it down to where it needs to be. So the Reserve Bank will be hoping for more of the same later this week. We'll also get the latest Real Estate Institute housing market report on Tuesday morning. This will cover the month of April. And it has been a sluggish start to the year for the housing market. We saw things stabilise about May or June last year. Prices stopped falling. Then we saw a bit of activity over the second half of last year. But very late last year and into 2024, things have been pretty sluggish. Having said that, there were some bright spots in the March report. We saw sales volumes jump and the days to sell came down a little bit. Prices still not doing a whole lot, but we will be watching how that looks on Tuesday morning. The housing market, obviously very important for people's confidence and how they feel about things, and that of course influences their spending patterns, their behaviour. For most people, the house is the biggest asset, so when your biggest asset is falling in value, or if it's harder to sell it, or if you're reading negative headlines in the newspapers or seeing negative headlines online and so forth, it will just cause you to be a little bit more downbeat. So the housing market is always considered to be a very important market for the economy, for the share market, and for confidence generally. On the corporate front, there is a little bit to come. The US reporting season and the global reporting season largely complete now, but we will have a few things we can keep an eye on. A couple of the Chinese tech behemoths due to report, Alibaba and Tencent this week. I think Alibaba's on Tuesday, Tencent on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. a couple of big companies from the United States and elsewhere as well, across a range of other sectors: Home Depot, Vodafone, Burberry, Cisco, John Deere, Walmart. So, you know, a few interesting ones there. Home Depot and Walmart in particular tell you quite a bit about what is happening with the US consumer, and given those consumer confidence figures that were out last week, given what you're seeing with labor markets and slowing wage growth, they will be interesting. We can see what we learn there and marry that up with what we see in the retail sales report, which is out, I think, on Wednesday night in the US. So enjoy your week, everybody, and we will talk again soon.
For more insights, visit craigsip.com.